Radio MD. RadioMD.com.
Your eyes have it. And you have Dr. Robert Abel Jr., the Wizard of Eyes.
You don't have a child with a disability, but when it happens, you never know when it comes in waves that there's more than one. So I've invited an exceptional speech-language pathologist to discuss the impact of visual impairments on learning and basic cognitive functions. Rehabbing two different disabilities requires a unique talent and a real saint. So Natalie Lutz is with us, and she is a language pathologist in a medical setting with 10 years' experience. She's dealt with adults, hospitals, rehab facilities, long-term care, and is the owner of Accents, A-C-C-S-E-N-S-E. So Natalie, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Would you be kind enough to share with our listeners your background and your personal journey into working with people with cognitive linguistic impairments?
Yes. I started out initially in an acute care setting where I would assess a lot of patients of all different ages and diagnoses for cognitive linguistic impairments. And where I really found a deeper understanding for this area was when I started working in the long-term care sector and in settings with patients with Alzheimer's and dementia. That's where I really began to see how much this affected patients.
You know, it's very interesting you bring this up because people say, oh, I don't know anybody with this problem. You sure do.
Yeah.
They're all around us with an aging demographic, right?
Absolutely.
Football injuries, everything.
And it continues to increase, you know, as they're discovering more and doing more testing as well.
Well, when you consider that 40% of the brain is related to information that comes through the eye, even though we're not aware of it, you recognize that organic cognitive disorders may be more common and associated with visual impairments. Would you be kind enough to sort of enumerate some of the items you work with? Because some of the people may know patients or individuals with these items. So what kind of issues do you tend to normally handle in your day?
Mostly a lot of patients who have suffered from a stroke. A lot of times they will present with aphasia, which is difficulty expressing themselves or understanding communication or language that's coming in. Traumatic brain injury. We're seeing a lot of post-concussion patients as well. And the Alzheimer's and dementia population. And we're also seeing patients with neurological and neurodegenerative diseases such as Parkinson's, Huntington's, ALS, and we will treat patients with multiple sclerosis because of the cognitive changes that occur with that disease as well.
Do you find that somebody, let's say, with a stroke, is discharged from the hospital and rehab facility, and then they're sort of left on their own to figure out how to improve in the future. Are these the kind of people that you can help?
Absolutely. Along with occupational therapy, we will treat patients together a lot, doing very similar but different aspects of getting back to daily routines. Speech therapists will more likely focus on the language or linguistic component involved in that, whereas OT will take over the functioning in daily activities, such as grooming and dressing and those kinds of things. Speech will typically work with patients to improve language function, reading comprehension, any other deficits if they are having any motor speech deficits, for articulation disorders and those kinds of areas with stroke.
How many of these folks would you say have some vision compensation issue, and how do you get that assessed?
Typically, it's when speech is involved, it's not that common, but I have seen it quite often in the 10 years I've been working. We usually will see it along with when someone has a stroke, if they have a visual deficit such as a neglect or an inattention to one side. I typically will see patients with a left neglect or a left inattention on the left side. So we would spot this by, you know, noting it in an evaluation, whether it be difficulty reading a paragraph in an exam, or if you notice it sometimes in their daily activities, such as eating a meal, you can notice that a patient will ignore one side of the plate and only eat from the other side of the plate, and there you can kind of tell where their deficit lies. And how we treat it is depends upon how it presents. So with a left neglect, we would try to bring attention to that side, the left side. I've had patients where they've had difficulty seeing a certain side of their visual field in their most of their activities, including walking down a hallway. So we would pick a side to focus on and constantly cue them to that side, as well as visual cues such as bright colors to attend to their plate to try to get the brain to recognize that, the side of the deficit.
I have a couple thoughts that tell me what you think. One is that if you present everybody with a reading card, you would pick up a lot of things in terms of comprehension. Can they see both sides? Can they go to the next line, et cetera? Mm-hmm. And the other is a book by a guy named Norman Doidge, a psychiatrist. Mm-hmm. It's called The Mind That Heals Itself, or The Brain That Heals Itself. And the first chapter deals with somebody like this and what the two sons, both of whom were physicians, did to rehabilitate him. I mean, it is fascinating what is possible, and I'm sure you see some of these interesting things.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we work in conjunction when it involves visual perceptual deficits a lot with occupational therapy. We will share certain exercises and treatments to incorporate them into our different fields as well.
There are optometric schools that have neuro-rehabilitation, i.e. vision therapy programs that are designed for this, and that we as ophthalmologists can pick it up, but we certainly need the conduit to get it people to specialists like yourself.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. When I did a lot of acute rehab, there were certain hospitals in the Philadelphia area that we knew of that we would send certain patients there to get those types of therapies.
Terrific. Mm-hmm. So when people have multiple disabilities, how do you approach it, and what do you do first? What is your first target?
Mm-hmm. Initially, what we do is we first get a physician's order to evaluate and treat a patient, and then we go and we introduce ourselves to the patients, and we will get an idea. Initially, before we do the eval, we have an idea of what we're sort of targeting or what they want us to look at, but we still do a comprehensive evaluation to catch any other areas that might be missed by others, which it happens quite often, actually. And then what we do is we will ask them if they are having any specific issues that they recognize in their daily lives or that has changed from any event. And then we'll perform an evaluation depending upon the deficit we want to look at. And then from that, we get a treatment plan, and we go forward with that. If there's somebody that has, with the Alzheimer's and dementia population, if they're having a difficult time expressing anything to you or giving you any information, what we typically do is we will reach out to family at that point to find out, you know, is there any other information that can help us regarding their abilities and their deficits.
Sure. How can people contact you, Natalie?
They can contact me at info@accents.org, and that is info@accense.org.
Great. Thanks for being with us. I'm Dr. Rob Abel, the Wizard of Eyes, on RadioMD.com. For more information on this segment or any of my segments, visit my show page at RadioMD.com. Listen well, stay well, see well.